many people have ever read Numbers and nobody raised their hands. So I asked the choir this morning when I prayed with them, and one of the great choir members said he got to number 6. Moses has so many titles in religious history. He's the lawgiver of the Ten Commandments. He's the liberator of the people of slavery in Egypt. He's the guide of the people during the Exodus. He's the deliverer of the people to the Promised Land. But he's also an unwilling and reluctant spokesperson about speaking and serving God. He's a worker of miracles, a pathway for God's power. He's a leader of the Hebrews. And most of all, however, he's a prophet, a man who ultimately did speak for God. There are many hymns which sing of Moses and the themes of the Exodus, and these are the hymns in our hymnal, just some of them. 453, when Israel was in Egypt's land, and that was our opening hymn. 300, O God, beneath thy guiding hand. 437, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, which is our closing hymn today. 39, I sing of the mighty power of God. 349, take my life and let it be. 581, the Lord bless you and keep you. And if you go on the internet, on the web, and go under Moses hymns, Moses or hymns Exodus, you'll just see lists and lists and lists of hymns. And what that shows is that Moses, with all of his titles, is part of our culture. And the Exodus, with all of the events that preceded it, the Exodus itself, and all the events that followed, are part of our culture. And the Ten Commandments, whether followed or not, are part of our culture. The Torah, which is the first 5 books of the Bible, gives us a lot of detail about Moses. And we remember from our earliest studies that Moses was born of a Hebrew mother, because the Egyptian Pharaoh ordered that all male Hebrew children be killed. Moses' mother left him in a basket in bulrushes or reeds. And think later on when the Hebrews crossed over the Red or Reed Sea. The baby Moses, we remember, was found by an Egyptian princess and raised and became a powerful authority in the Egyptian courts. The Hebrew people themselves were slaves in Egypt, and the books of the Torah tell us that in agonized prayer, they prayed to God to end their oppression. And that's why I chose today as opening hymn when Israel was in Egypt's land. We know that God heard the prayers of the Hebrew people, but God needed a person to act for him, so he chose Moses to be his spokesperson and later the deliverer of the Hebrew people. Now, one would think that Moses would have been very happy to have been chosen, but no, Moses was unenthusiastic. He was reluctant to take on any job God had for him. Moses was like us, not very eager to take on a job or accept the role that God was asking of him, especially to be God's voice and the emancipator of God's people. In reading Exodus today, we find Moses offering excuses that I'm not very eloquent, I'm slow of speech. But God didn't care what Moses thought, and God doesn't often think about or care about what we think either. When God wants us to act, God wants us to act. So God answered Moses' excuses with these questions. Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf? Who makes them seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, go, and I will be your mouth, and I will teach you what you are to speak. Moses didn't like that either. So he argued with God, and what he persisted in saying, please send someone else. And the author of Scripture tells us that at this point in time, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now, the passage is probably meaningful to me because I did not enter seminary until the year 2000. As you can probably tell, that was a lot later in life than most people. I could have entered earlier in life, but I didn't. And even when I started attending classes, I didn't take them for credit. I started auditing. But God won, and then I did start taking credit courses, and ultimately I did graduate. I never intended on being ordained. I wanted to get involved in Bible studies. But ultimately I learned the hard way that God had other plans for me. And so obviously here I am. So I connect with Moses, not certainly his stature, but with his arguments against God. Moses was reluctant to take on the job that God had for him, which was to speak on behalf of God. I was not enthusiastic to speak on behalf of God either, especially as an ordained minister. It was, as some would say, not in my deck of cards. But God got his way, and I now live in daily joy that he did. Perhaps you can also connect with Moses. Maybe you are not enthusiastic to speak on behalf of God either. But God does ask you to speak, every single person here. When God tapped Moses on the shoulder, so to speak, he expected Moses to pay attention to him, for he was, in fact, God. And I'm sure that Moses thought after a while in life he would have a good, quiet life. He liked life the way it was. But God had other plans for him. And God has plans for each of us here today. When God showed anger to Moses, it was because Moses tried to duck God's call. And perhaps if we keep trying to avoid God's call, maybe God could show some anger also. God likes to triumph. God achieves what God will. The author of Genesis gives us an interesting clue to this because he says this, and these words have echoed down through generation after generation. Is anything too hard for the Lord to accomplish? Is anything too hard for the Lord to accomplish? When we look at the Bible in its entirety and we look carefully, we find it's in its stories that God's will is never thwarted. It's never blocked. God always gets his own way. It has been true in my life, and that is also perhaps what marriage told me. Both God and my wife Sue both get their own way. Those who watch HGTV and they have the show where spouses pick three houses and they argue back and forth as to which house they're going to pick, I have learned that always to bet on what the wife says. Otherwise, it's futile. So back to Moses. Even though he was unwilling to be God's voice, he ultimately was. And even though God told Moses that Aaron, his brother, would be his voice, God still won. God still won because Moses was in the person that was in the closest relationship with God. Moses would still be the link between God and his people. Moses would still be the deliverer of the people from slavery, and Moses would still be the lawgiver. I don't know that Moses was even aware that God was just appeasing him by saying, well, Aaron will speak for you. But Moses got the point. God was in charge. And remember again, those powerful words, there are chapter 18 in Genesis, is anything too hard for the Lord to accomplish? And later on, of course, we learn the incarnation, and later on we learn about the resurrection. So everything in Exodus, in the Torah, in the Old Testament, and the New Testament is just a reflection on those words and how they have come to be true. Is anything too hard for the Lord to accomplish? Now, eventually, we learn that Moses had to confront the Pharaoh. And we know that Pharaoh did not want to let the Hebrew people go free. They were an extremely cheap labor force. We've seen the movies, and we know that the Hebrews were set free after some horrible things happened in Egypt. And after the Hebrews crossed the Red or Reed Sea, the Pharaoh armies drowned, and the Hebrews started their exodus to the Promised Land. But many people, those people, had to go through life changes for them to be formed into God's people. We ourselves have to go through many changes in our lives to be formed into God's people. God wanted to form them into his people. God wants to form us into his people. So during the time of their travels throughout those many, many years in the wilderness to the land of Israel, God gave them the Ten Commandments. And this was to form the people, to give them clear directives in order to have them change their lives and to bring them into closer union with God. Now, I'm aware that there is a historical, if not hysterical, movie called History of the World, Part 1. They never did do a Part 2. And in that movie, of course, we learn that God gave three tablets of 15 commandments to Moses. I want to confirm that I have read the Torah. It's not in there anywhere. we continue. Throughout the books of the Torah, we continually learn that the Hebrew people never really accepted Moses. They continually distrusted him, and they regularly questioned his authority. For example, even when Moses was a young man, he saw a Hebrew slave being abused by an Egyptian soldier, and he killed the soldier. He committed murder. Later on, when Moses was working with a Hebrew slave, the Hebrew slave turned to him and said, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us?" And you can imagine Moses' reply to that. And then the Hebrew turned to Moses and said, "Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Can you imagine the impact that had on Moses? So Moses knew that the people were not going to automatically raise him up to be their appointed leader. He knew that there was a great deal of mistrust about his motivations. In Exodus chapter 4, it is recorded that Moses had doubts whether the people would listen to him, and he worried if perhaps the people would even follow him. So Moses, who eventually had a very strong relationship with God, brought his misgivings to God. And this is what he said: "Suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" But yet, to Moses, God was a reality, because Moses had experienced the miracles of God. And Moses ultimately learned with certainty what God wanted of him. But yet he continued throughout the entire time to have severe reservations about whether the people would pay attention to him, as he wanted to be God's voice and respond to God, the voice of a prophet. So what about us? On those occasions when we should stand up because of a moral principle, do we have the same question that Moses had? Suppose they do not believe me? Suppose they do not listen to me? Do we ever shy from making moral judgments when we should speak up? And if so, what is our hesitation? As Congregationalists, we have the task of investigating what is the true moral principle and what is not, what is just a cultural belief. And because of science and technology and what they teach, then we have to know what is essential. We're no longer in the time of Moses, and yet there are moral principles which endure, and there are other mores which do not. And as life moves on together with culture, together with scientific research and technology, we still need to keep God central in our lives. That is the first commandment. What Moses was really dealing with was God's clear purpose to take care of the injustice of the people of Israel, the Hebrews. And each of us has seen injustice. We ourselves recently may even have experienced injustice. In addition, we regularly hear people complain. And the stories of the Torah, indeed of the entire Bible, but especially the stories surrounding Moses, show real people with real problems, making real excuses not to follow God's will. Just read some of the books of the prophets. This is why the stories surrounding Moses are so wonderful and so enduring. They're human stories, and they tell about the reactions of people, the people who are in some sort of connection with God. For example, the author of Exodus tells us that the people who were freed from Egyptian bondage were complaining because they felt there was no adequate food and water. These are the actual complaints recorded in one of the chapters. The people said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Isn't this the very thing we told you so in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." These are not the only complaints. If you're interested in reading more, go to Exodus chapter 16 and also chapter 17. A lot more complaints. So what does a leader of people do when he hears these and more complaints, and from people who do not respect him? Did Moses want to give up? Do you ever want to give up? Moses did want to give up a number of times. We learn in Exodus in chapter 17, Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." It's hard to be a leader on behalf of the Lord. people may not want to follow. In fact, they may want to kill you. Look what they did to Jesus and Paul and the apostles and to Christians, and which continue down to this day. They may want to injure or even kill you. So what did Moses do? He prayed to God. And in the second reading today, we heard Moses' prayer. Moses reached out to God, and in his relationship with God, reminded God of what he did for the people. And he reminded God of God's power. And he asked God to forgive the people, even though they had tested God himself and also tested Moses. So what specifically prompted this prayer as recorded in the Torah? The people were planning a mutiny against Moses. This is what Scripture says. So the people said to one another, "Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt." Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt. The people were preparing to revolt, to choose their own new CEO and new boss and return to slavery. It's really hard to be a leader of people on behalf of the Lord. The people forgot their own prayers to release them from slavery. They planned to return back to slavery. So imagine Moses' emotions at that time. So Moses prayed. He renewed his relationship with God over and over again. And we heard that prayer read today. So let's close with a paraphrase of Moses' prayer. And let's make it personal to ourselves. And let's make it personal to this culture where we are now. May we bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Oh my Lord, I have never been eloquent to speak your words, neither in the past nor even now. So many times when confronted with moral problems and ethical difficulties, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. But Lord, I hear you in the words of Scripture and in my own conscience when you tell me you are God and you, God, give speech to us mortals. Lord, when I am pressured and reluctant to speak and pressured and reluctant to act, and when I ask you to please send someone else, I understand that there are times and situations when I am the only person available to speak out. There is no one else. If I don't speak, there is no one to speak your words. Lord, you perfectly know I am not of the stature of Moses, but I know I must remember the commandments, and I must remember to love you and my neighbor and serve as Moses did. There are times, O Lord, when I must help liberate others out of their slavery, their oppression, their captivities, and there are so many ways that each of us is enslaved and in bondage. There are times, O Lord, when I must be a guide. There are times when I, even though unwilling and reluctant, must be your spokesman and speak for you. Lord, there are times when I feel you ask too much of me, so I pray that if you don't choose someone else, then you give me the grace to serve you in your divine will. For Lord, like Moses, I will serve you and do as you want of me. Amen.
Thank you.